This is my body broken for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before St. John the Apostle, in loving contemplation, drew near to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was first a most pure heart that loved it. Before St. Peter and the other apostles ordained priests would take in their hands the body and blood of our Lord, made present under the species of bread and wine, there were sacred hands that had held and defended the Christ child. This heart, these hands, belong to our dear patron, the true spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, whom we celebrate today as a model of workers, but whom we should celebrate for that very reason as a model of our Eucharistic devotion, as in part suggested to us by a beautiful article by Father Serafino Lanzetta. You may recall that on Holy Thursday, we contemplated together the mystery of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, revealed to us the first movements of the Sacred Heart of the God-man Jesus Christ. When Christ came into the world, St. Paul writes, he said, "See, God, I have come to do your will." The principal moments that the sacred authors of the Holy Gospels have recorded for us from the childhood of Jesus Christ only serve to enlighten, extend, and affirm the sacerdotal and the sacrificial character of the mission of Jesus Christ. The first offering which Jesus makes of himself is seconded by the offering which Mary and Joseph make of him in the temple in the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. In like manner, how could the heart of Joseph not have been also afflicted to hear of the participation of his holy spouse Mary in the sacrifice of God the Son, when the holy Simeon prophesied that a sword would pierce her heart? What generous acts of loving adoration and holy abandonment did not fill his heart with courage at that mysterious presentation? As he led the Holy Family through hardships of all kinds, what loving patience and courage did not St. Joseph practice in the flight to Egypt and the equally arduous return from the same? How much clearer did the sacrifice of God the Son appear after St. Joseph and his Holy Mother found Jesus in the temple? "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus replied in a loving rebuke. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Or as we may also translate, "about my Father's interests." The eternal word speaks to Joseph and Mary in that moment as if to say, "You who have lived with me, nourished me, defended and protected me, lovingly cared for me, offered your lives together with my adoration of the Father, do you not yet see the sacrifice towards which my life tends, the ultimate offering for the world that I have come to accomplish? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's interests?" As the Blessed Virgin Mary contemplates these divine words in her heart, so too we may justly surmise is the purest heart of Joseph likewise the guardian of these sacred words, where they are cherished and contemplated. Father Serafino goes so far as to infer that St. Joseph must have known of the great desire of the Sacred Heart to offer himself under the species of bread and wine, one in union with his sacrifice on the cross, to be united forever with those whom he loves, to be their life and light. In a word, Father Serafino believes that Joseph was privy to the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. We need not, though we may, follow Father so far to appreciate the simple truth that Joseph, among all men, was chosen to prepare the body that would be broken for us. Broken indeed, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is one of the four important biblical texts from which we learn our Savior's words the night that he was betrayed. While we typically translate the sacred words of Jesus as, "This is my body given for you," other ancient sources report that the words are rather, "This is my body broken for you." What is it that is broken upon the cross, together with the body of our glorious Savior, as his precious blood descends upon us as a laver of infinite power? Broken first is the curse set upon our human race by the sin of our first father. Broken with it, the sentence of our condemnation, as Isaiah said in the Spirit, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Broken with Adam's sin must, however, be broken the root of that sin. The root of the branch that would be original sin was a heart filled with self-will and pride. As St. Paul says to the Romans, for just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. We always celebrate the principal feast of our dear patron, St. Joseph, on March 19th, a day that always falls before Easter, even if it is solemnized afterwards. We celebrate that date precisely because St. Joseph, according to tradition, had already fallen asleep in death before his adopted son, our Lord Jesus Christ, would accomplish the sacrifice of our salvation. Yet in truth, the life of St. Joseph the Worker was one of constant union with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Eucharistic sacrifice of Jesus. As we have recalled, the first thoughts of Christ are priestly thoughts of offering, of obedience, of love. Remember that St. Paul revealed that when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. That body would be broken for our salvation on Good Friday in the consummation of the unique, the one and only sacrifice that Jesus would offer of his life and work. Yet, dear friends, during his hidden life, who nourished this sacred body? Who defended it from the fury of Herod, from threats of all kinds? Who, by his own loving labor, earned a living for God the Son and his Holy Mother? In short, whose life was like a constant offertory at Holy Mass? Joseph's life of work is Eucharistic in the deepest sense, because he prepares that sacrifice by his very works. However, most essentially, it is the union of the purest heart of Joseph with the sacred heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that ensures that his daily labors remain constantly united with and consummated in the sacrifice of the cross. By disobedience, sin entered the world. At every turn, Joseph responds yes, where Adam our father had said no. Where our self-will would glory in our own excellence, the very essence of pride, Joseph is pleased to retreat with Jesus into a life of humble offering, where each day sees Joseph break his own will, offer his own body for the nourishment of the body that would save us all. Saint Joseph is a model for us all in our daily work, but more importantly, following his example, we may unite all of our work, all of our tasks, with the one true and most important work of the entire world, the work of the God-man in his passion and death. Divine Providence, at each moment of our daily lives, constantly puts forth to us this question: do you love me? Will you, like Joseph, bear with uncertainty and serve me in the night of faith, just as Joseph refused to judge the Blessed Virgin Mary and her holy pregnancy? Will you, like Joseph, rise promptly when I call you, even if I call you to hardships whose purpose and end you cannot yet see? Our Lord cares little if we obtain to great worldly success. He looks not as men do upon external glory. His gaze instead remains fixed on the altar of our hearts. There, God the Father was always pleased to see, in the heart of Joseph, a will broken and offered together with that of his divine Son. There is no work so small that cannot be ennobled and elevated to be joined, together with the great and holy work of God the Son. Let us then, as St. Joseph did constantly, consecrate ourselves and our works through his intercession to his divine Son and the sacrifice of the cross, confident that our works, hidden with St. Joseph, will be for us an eternal treasure revealed by the glorious cross of our Savior, the cross of our Savior, who is pleased to be known in this life as the Son of Joseph. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.